This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, Chris, now that hockey season, my hockey season at least, is over, I'm focusing 1,000%.
Don't feel bad, buddy. Mine's been over for months. Go ahead.
1,000% on my beloved New York Giants. The Rangers are sort of my mistress, whereas the Giants are my wife. I will say this to Rob Cosis. Class act you are, buddy, sending that direct message right after the game. Rob is a big Tampa Lightning fan. I did not respond because I figured I'd respond here. Plus,
I missed the
refresh,
message.
My friend.
I missed that. What is?
I deleted it immediately because I was in such a bad mood. Great series. Rangers are great. Blah, blah, blah. You know, nice. Very nice. Very, very humble in victory. So, Rob.
Unlike you Ranger fans, he was very humble. And
I can't speak for my brethren. Yeah. I'm humble.
No, I'm only kidding. Rob's a good dude. Yeah, I did see Rob tweet, you know, go Lightning and have a great series, Jerry. And, you know, I gather he lives down in Florida. I did see that. But Rob, you're now down one game to none in the Stanley Cup, which doesn't really mean much to Tampa, as you know. It seems like they enjoy being down so they can regroup and do their thing. So that should be a great Stanley Cup. But, yeah, Jerry, great run by your hockey team, bro. But, you know, Tampa's Tampa, and they kind of show why they were Tampa there at the end. But, so, Jerry, you know, we're in a little bit of a dead period now, you know, in between. At least the Giants, a lot of teams have their mini camp going on right now. I think the Jets are wrapping theirs up. A lot of teams have.
Yeah.
But the Giants have been done for a week, and they'll be done. They'll be, you know, in a dead period until the end of July. But Jerry, I want to talk a little bit about the offense. I see a lot of people tweeting at us, and you know, a lot of football talk about, yeah, well, what's Dable going to do? Is Daniel going to light it up? Is Daniel going to be free to do whatever the hell he wants? I don't, whatever that means, you know. So, but I'm going to talk about one guy. We're going to talk about the wide receiver position a little bit. So, watching Buffalo over the years. The last 2 years, Jerry, watching a lot of them. When they got Stephon Diggs, okay, obviously that was the page turner for Josh Allen, all right? Right. Josh Allen has been phenomenal since they acquired, and I'm saying it's old, Stephon Diggs, but Diggs has been unbelievable for them, especially 2 years ago.
Sure.
He was even better. Why? Well, one thing about Diggs, he's a very good route runner. Two, he gets separation, okay? Mm-hmm. And Dable got him the ball. Josh Allen got him the ball. He was the focal point. So that's going to lead me to. So I looked at the Giants roster, Jerry, and I said, at the receiver position, I said, who the hell is on this that somewhat fits that Diggs category? Now, I'm not comparing the receivers. All I'm saying is, who could get off that slot? Who could get on even that outside? Who could get the separation? Who could get the yak after the ball? Things that Diggs did, things that Cole Beasley did up in Buffalo out of the slot, okay, that they focused on, and Josh Allen got them the ball. And I looked at it, Jerry, and this is going to be my prediction now.
Now, folks, by the way, Chris and I talked for about 15 minutes before this started, and he said he was going to talk about this. I do not know the name of who he's going to say, so.
Right. So this is going to be my top receiver for the Giants by far, okay?
By far.
And that's going to be Kadarius Toney, Jerry. Chris, are you crazy? Can't stay healthy? Oh, okay. Well, let's obviously we're assuming this is year two. He's going to be healthy. None of the other stuff is going to be there. All right? Jerry, I looked at these receivers and I said, well, give me a Diggs type guy. Now, I'm not comparing them, of course. Diggs is a Pro Bowler. Diggs is, you know, 100 catches, years, all that crap. Right? So we know that. Yeah. But I looked at Kadarius Toney, and I look at him, and I say, well, there's a guy that's going to be our number one guy this year. Galladay does certain things, but he's not a big separation guy, Jerry.
Right.
As we know, he's not a big separation guy, but he could do other things. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Galladay's, you know, a tomato. He's not. We know that. But Kadarius is that Brian Dable guy that's going to line up at the outside. He's going to line up at that slot a lot. And he's going to get in that space, and he's going to get that as he flashed, right, Jerry? When he was healthy last year, we all know what he did in that Dallas game when he was healthy, right?
Right.
He was destroying Mr. Deion Sanders Part 2 Diggs, right?
Right.
Everybody thinks he's Deion Sanders Part 2, although he's not, okay? But, you know, Javon Diggs, right? He was destroying him. Destroying him. He had, I remember that one route, Diggs went one way, and Kadarius did an out, if I remember right. Yes. Oh, Kadarius
had no
this.
Idea.
Yeah, he had, Diggs had no idea where the hell he was going.
No idea where he was. Yep.
Jerry, I look at it, and I said, you know what? Kadarius is going to be our guy. Big time this year under this Brian Daboll offense and Daniel. Okay? Watch Kadarius Toney. I know we all know his talent. We all know it. I know there's other outside factors people are concerned about. I get it. I know that. Dude, remember I said this. It's now June, what the hell we're in?
16th.
Kadarius Toney, folks, is going to have a monster year, and he's going to be the number one guy for the Giants this year in this offense in Dable. And I'm going to give you another guy that's going to have really good numbers, and that's going to be our number two draft pick, Jerry. Wandale Robinson, because he is like that another guy from that slot who could go on the outside a little bit. He's going to go in that slot, and he's going to get in that space, and that's what Dable likes. And I can see it in the OTAs. I can see it in minicamp, what they're doing. Jerry, Robinson's a kid, rookie. He's going to have to get it. He's going to have to learn it. But, dude, I'm telling you, this is my opinion. This is the way I'm going to see it. I see it. I think this is going to way it's going to play out. Kadarius Toney is going to be our number one guy by far. Go.
You know, I mean, look, in the small sample size that we saw of him last year, he got us all excited. I mean, I believe his first game was Atlanta, if I'm not correct. Or he got significant. I'm sorry. No, his first game was in Washington. They did some kind of stupid end around to him. I think he lost yards or something. It was right. A bad play. But when we saw him in Atlanta against Atlanta at home, it was, right. Wow, this kid may have some talent. It was not staying healthy. The way it started with the shoe and then the injury and then COVID. He never really got going. And then when he finally did get going, we were like, oh, wow, you know, this is why we drafted this kid. And then he couldn't stay healthy, and then some other things, blah, blah, blah.
Then he got hurt, yeah.
Right. But I'm not that – I mean, based on the fact that, like you said, Galladay doesn't get the separation, and that's not going to improve with age, unfortunately. He's not all of a sudden going to start separating better from cornerbacks. Shepard, you know, I don't know. Who knows when he's going to actually be on the field? It's not that surprising. It's just a matter of – I think the way you're talking about it, I'm a little surprised with monster year type of thing, right?
Yeah. And I'm gonna go out, Jay. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, bro.
I hope you are right. And look, Shane obviously likes him. Made it very clear in press conferences he wants to keep the guy. So, dude, I hope you're right. I just it's all about staying healthy, and his commitment to football, which I don't know why people question, but it is what it is. It's just out there. I don't have any evidence otherwise. It's just, you know, whatever. It's more about staying healthy. So I guess my question for you, Chris, is what do you define as monster year? And if you could put numbers to it, I'm just curious what you think. Not to keep you on the fire.
I'm thinking 80 plus catches.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, that 1,200 yard range. That type of area, you know, that 6-7 touchdowns, whatever.
That would be a monster.
What he possesses, the talent, skill he possesses, and what Dable likes, and what Dable did with Stephon Diggs up in Buffalo, and even Cole Beasley type guy.
Yeah.
Okay, out of that slot, which we all know Kadarius, that's where he's lethal. That's where he's going to line up a lot in that slot.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think Dable is going to make him the focal point with Daniel, and he's going to do other things. You know, those jets, you know, he's going to run. I'm telling you, they're going to get the ball. We all know, I'm leaving the injury part. And, you know, look, Jerry, what happened is, you know, happened is that when he missed OTAs beginning this year, of course, a lot of people are like, well, does this kid want to play or not?
Right.
And listen, Jerry, and there's even a bouncing around the facility, around the building. Some people are like, well, what's this kid's story? Why isn't he in? You know, it's a new coaching staff. So that's fair. I understand where that comes from. Me personally, Jerry, I don't think there's a commitment issue with Kadarius. I think the kid is all ball. I think the kid loves to play. I just think he has some other interests. He has some other thoughts on things. He's like, okay, sure. I'll be fine when I get there. Don't worry about me. I'm fine, you know?
Right.
You know, and I get it. I get the, you know, there was reports about him being traded. Shane kind of shot that down pretty quick.
Yeah.
and all that. I just look at his skill set, Jerry, and what Dable likes to do, and what Kafka did, what Kafka, I should say, witnessed, right? With Bieniemy and Reed, what they did with guys up there. I Kadarius Toney, to me, is a kid that is going to have a very big year, bro. Very big year. I'm telling you, I'm saying it now. I think Dable, I think Daniel are going to get this kid the effing ball, bro, and he's going to be the target guy on this team, bro. So that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
I could be dead wrong come next November. We're like, Chris, what happened to that Toney honor? That's the way I see it right now. And you know what, Jerry? Just one thought before you jump in.
Yeah.
And training camp is going to be so, so interesting because you're going to really see Kadarius should be back. You know, he should be getting reps, and then you're going to get a real feel of him. I'm telling you, Jerry, you're going to hear me telling you this in August. Hey, dude, Kadarius is all, you know, Kadarius is all over. They're getting him the ball, and he's team drills. So, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that the comparison last year was, you know, there were times when he played where he looked almost uncoverable, right? And you've said that about another guy that you used to watch in practice and say, when he's healthy, he's uncoverable, number 13.
No question. Okay.
Right. Now, Ed and Robinson, right? And actually an imaginative offense. Sorry to crap on people who used to be here. But, you know, you have an offensive-minded coach in Dable with a Andy Reid disciple in Kafka. You know, you look at Toney and Robinson, and then you even look at Galladay. And that's what we keep saying. Like, you know, maybe we're not going to have double-digit wins, but this offense should be more exciting. Mm-hmm. And the word you used last year, and maybe you used it the year before. I think you used it the year before in Chicago, right, when the Barkley got hurt game. When you're watching these pass patterns, you said there's something stale about this offense, and that was the word you used. And whether we have the talent across the board on offense to compete, a right quarterback, blah blah blah, at least it's going to be more entertaining to watch this year, and that's what I'm excited for. And the fact that you say that about Toney, I don't think it's that far-fetched. I think the numbers, I would I be surprised if he got 1,200? A little, but I don't know. I mean, he's got the talent to do it. It's just a matter of staying healthy, man.
So. Yeah, well, Jerry, just think about it this way. Look at the amount of yards he had last year. Right. He was close to 400. In 400 limited,
he had 400-something receiving.
400-something receiving yards in limited games and limited snaps.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, and Jerry, I thought you hit it on the head the last podcast when you said about the new offense, and you said the fans are going to enjoy the scheme.
Right.
They're going to enjoy the scheme of what the hell they're doing out there.
Right.
And I couldn't have said it better. I mean, you know, the scheme is going to be different, you know. And Mr. Barkley is going to be different. I think Mr. Barkley is going to have a big year.
I will not call you out if he doesn't get the ball, Chris. You know what, Chris? Then they fooled all of us if he doesn't get the ball.
I'm going to stick to it, Jerry. Barkley's going to have a big year receiving and running, okay?
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say it because, looking at Buffalo, looking at what they did when Diggs got there with Josh Allen and you know, Kadarius, he does so many things that Dable wants to do in an offense. And I'm just going to, folks, for you Kadarius Toney fans, I know there's a ton of you out there. I know a lot of people are down on him. I don't know about this kid. I get it. And I understand that. But I also know there's a ton of loyal Kadarius Toney fans out there, Giant fans, Jerry, that like, hey, wait a minute, give this kid, let him be healthy and then talk about him, right?
Yeah.
Well, folks, I'm going to say he's going to be healthy. I can't predict that. I'm going to say let's hope he's healthy.
Yeah.
And because if he is and he's playing 17 games and he's playing 50-plus snaps a game and he's a full and he's targeted, dude, Trevor, listen, that Dallas game last year was Trevon Diggs couldn't cover him, bro.
Right.
Couldn't cover him. Now, like you said, Jerry, I used to say that about another guy, number 13. Remember in his prime, I used to tell you, Jerry, there's nobody in this effing league that could cover Odell one-on-one. Nobody. Now, I'm not putting Toney in that category yet. But he flashed.
Right.
Because Diggs was one of the best corners in football last year. No question he was. And Kadarius lit him up. So, you know, so now
made him look silly at times.
Made him look silly at times. So this is Dable's responsibility to get him in certain positions on the field, to get the matchups and all that. And Brian has shown that he could do that. Did it up in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think he's going to do it here. And look out for number 89, right? Man, I'm losing my 89. Losing my mind right now. Look out for number 89 this year. I think he's going to really, really, really have a fine, really have a good year, Jerry.
Chris, the irony of comparing him to Diggs, or not comparing him, but being that focal point, and then using his brother, the corner, to, you know, that was basically Tony's best game. I mean, a little ironic there, huh? Nice.
It is a little ironic, yeah. Hey, like, you know what, Jerry? I didn't even mean to be ironic there, but now that you point that out, like, oh, yeah, that's right.
It is brother. Ironic. You know, he burned his brother. Nice.
Right.
So, yeah, there were times in that game, everybody started getting excited about Kadarius Toney. And then, and look, we also talked about in that game that, you know, Joe Judge, you know, he got ejected, right? And Joe Judge seemed mad. But I kind of like that he fought back. There's part of me that says dumb play, but I'd say 80% of me says, good, man, stick it to the Cowboys. Fight back. At least we got one guy fighting back.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it last year. It was like, okay, you can't do that. You don't want to lose a guy who's having one of your best talents. He's having a great game. I get it, right? You can't have guys throwing punches. I get it. But like you said, on the flip side, it was like, right. It was, well, you know what? I love that the kid's out there fighting. You know what I mean? Right. I love the kid cares. I love the kid sticking up for his teammates. I'm like, oh, yeah, you want to go after me? Watch the – you know what I mean? So it's that gray area. It's that fine line.
You know, taking another game into account, what's better, Giant fans, that – or watching the Eagles throw a pass to Lane Johnson in the end zone to go up, I don't know, 30 points. Yeah. That's wouldn't you want a response to something like that? Right. Because, sorry, if it was hockey, there'd be a response to that. Anyway, not to compare, but I'd rather have a guy who's passionate about winning where sometimes the emotions, not to the point where Odell's launching his body at, in the Carolina game where I thought he embarrassed himself.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have a guy fight back, so.
Yeah. So, hey, look, I just been thinking about this the last few days, and I'm, like I said, Jerry, I was thinking about Buffalo's offense, what they were doing with Diggs, and I'm saying, well, you know, who do we have here? Who do I feel is going to be? And that's what I came up with, and I really feel that way, and I'm just going to stick to the Barkley thing and all that. So now, as far as, you know, a lot of people are like, well, this guy's, are they gonna let Jones do his thing? Is he gonna be a free spirit, free will? I don't know what that, you know. Jones is, look, I think he's not gonna be out there forcing balls. That's not what Dable wants. No, I think, you know, because I kind of get the feeling, because Dable mentioned about, and I talked about this in the spring, like in March or April, like, you know, Dable's gonna be like Daniel, he wants Daniel to be aggressive. If you make mistakes in practice, you make mistakes in practice. Now, he doesn't want that cover, you know, going over to a game where, you know, you're forcing balls in pockets and you're getting picked, interceptions and all that. But he does want Jones to be more aggressive. And I think you're going to see that, him taking shots down the field, Jerry, more shots down the field. Of course, that all depends on how the offensive line's holding up, too, you know.
Well, he throws a good deep ball. We would like to see some deep balls, right?
Yeah, and you're going to see him trying to get the ball with the guys in space. That's what it's going to be all about. And look, Devin Singletary up on Buffalo is a nice back, nice running back, but he's not Saquon. Okay, right. He's not Saquon when Saquon's 100%. So the running backs want a big focal point in Dable's offense up in Buffalo. That's going to shift because why do you have – well, they have Saquon Barkley, okay? Yeah. And Dable's not dumb. He's not going to be like, well, you know, my philosophy is, you know, I'm not big. You know, we're going to get our running back 13 touches, 50, you know, and we'll get him 40 catches a year, 30 catches. No. Barkley's a different animal. And you see it already where Dable's like, well, I got this secretariat here. I got this stud. I'm not going to just let him sit in a barn and eat hay for 60 minutes. You know what I mean? I'm going to ride this horse, brother. You know, this horse is going to get the ball too, man. You know, so... that's what I'm seeing. Obviously, in training camp, you really start to see what the hell's going on because, you know, offseason is just basically installs, show a little bit of this and that. But obviously,
are you buying into a bit of the Saquon revenge tour a little bit?
Oh, I think he has a chip on his shoulder, Jerry. Look, we talked about it before. You know, probably the first time in his life he's had negativity. You know, a lot of people feeling he's. You know, he's just not Saquon. He'll never be the rookie Saquon, and he's injury prone, and all, and this and that. and you can see it, man. You know, he's going to be on a mission. Excuse me. He's going to be on a mission. And we'll see, you know, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to have a big year too. You know, so, but, you know, there's a couple of guys that we always say, if he stays healthy, and that's the problem, right? Yeah. Tony had an injury plagued first year. Saquon's had an injury, you know, Saquon's been injured the last few years. Sure. So, you know, and all that. So that's the way I feel about it, Jerry. Dable's no dummy. He's not going to have Barkley, you know, 12 touches a game. And, well, this is what I like, you know, this and that. You can see it already, dude.
Yeah, I said on the last podcast, you know, like you said, the running back wasn't a focal point in Buffalo, but it's nice to have a coach come in, realize what the team's strengths are, and build around that rather than saying, no, this is my system. Right. We're going to play to my system. Square peg, round hole, doesn't matter. I'm going to go with it. So,
right, right. So the offensive line obviously is going to be big. You know, and Evan Neal, if Evan Neal works out and really holds the fort down as a rookie, Jerry, that's going to be a huge, bro. You know, it's going to be huge. So
yeah, because you would expect Glowinski's going to come in and just be Glowinski, be a solid right guard, right? Right. So if Neal holds up his end of the bargain, and, you know, Glowinski, again, health, stay healthy, then you'd think that, you know what, the right side now is an option for Saquon, not just the left side with Andrew Thomas. So
yeah,
it's amazing, man. It's amazing how we still say, you know, I know we drafted him high, and we feel a lot better about it, the prospects of the right tackle position. Right. But just it's amazing that the right tackle position has been a complete mess since Kareem McKenzie left this organization. But,
right.
Hey.
And we,
yeah.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say we hope that ends now. Right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the, you know. Last year, Gettleman didn't go out and address it. This year, Joe Shane did. So we hope that ends now. It'll all start in camp, man. When they start putting them pads on, hitting a little bit, you know, and all that. And then obviously when they go up in New England at Thursday night game and they start, you know, facing some competition and see what these kids got, you know, because, look, Jerry, I think there's a lot of excitement, you know?
Yes, there is.
We've talked about it, you know, with the number one pick and, you know, in Thibodeau. And I think so many people are excited, Jerry, that Joe Shane went out and got this monster tackle to address this line, didn't ignore it like some other guy last year, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, even some of these other draft picks, you know, I think people are like, whoa, you know, I'm excited about Robinson kid. Now, a lot of people didn't know even who he was when he was drafted. What did he take? And now you start, you know, now you see what his OTAs, and I think people are starting to get excited about him.
Yeah,
you know. And even some of these other kids, some of these linebackers and all that. I think people are excited about Joe Shane's first draft class, and they can't wait to see these kids on the field, Jerry. And
yeah.
I'm just telling you because, you know, I'm fortunate enough to see a kid like Robinson on the field. I've seen him now for a month in front of me, you know, and there's a lot to be excited about. The kid has got a shitload of talent, bro. And, you know, and I looked at the McFaddens, you know, and I looked at some of these other kids, and kind of like, you know, Neil, I've talked about Neil. He's, you know, he's just a mountain of a kid. He's like a mountain that can run, you know. It's like, you know, so there's a lot to be excited about. And training camp is, look, I know it's over a month away, but it's right around the corner now. And people, I think there's a real excitement about, you know, about what these young kids, Joe Shane's draft class, is going to bring to this team in 2022.
Yeah, I think you're right on all those. We just always go back to the quarterback position, and it's going to be interesting to see how he can step forward with an improved line, an improved offensive scheme, and God willing, healthy weapons. But I don't know if you noticed, Chris, there was a video out of somebody asked Daniel Jones, if you were a dog, what kind of dog would you be? Did you see his response?
No, I didn't see that.
So that dude, El Jefe, he's pretty good with the Giant videos. I got to give him credit, man. He's a funny guy. Puts out those videos, I think once a week, but he put one out. I think it might have been on a TikTok or something.
Right.
And it was a video. They asked Daniel Jones, if you were a dog, what kind of dog would you be? He goes, I don't know, a lab. I thought to say, this dude, El Jefe, was like, really, a lab? And, you know, you just figure like other quarterbacks might say, German Shepherd, Doberman Pinscher, you know, Rottweiler. He's like, I'm a lab. Yes, Daniel. All right, buddy.
Well, that's Daniel's personality.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I wonder what Eli would have said. Somebody should ask that. Whatever. But, you know, it's just, you just hope that, you know, he, the issues that plague him, the staring down. But again, man, like, it's hard for us to judge Jones without a line that's actually been competitive. So we're going to give him all the chances in the world to succeed this year. Hope he does. But it just seems like it's going to come down to, is this guy the franchise quarterback, whether or not they move forward? I think the offense will be more exciting, but the question mark is obviously Jones. So,
Jerry, just a quick story that you just mentioned, Eli, you know? So I've been playing golf with this diehard Patriots fan. Lives down here by me, but he still has season tickets up in New England, goes once in a while. But he's a diehard. He's from Boston. He's a diehard New England. So speaking of Eli, so the other day, first three guys go up, boom, they smoke one down the fairway, and they stop, all right, Chris. So the guy goes, this guy, another Chris, by the way, he goes, all right, Chris, pressure's on you. Let's go. You got to get it down that fairway. I go, you mean like when Eli hit Mario Manningham down the left side? He goes, you got to mention that. You
Nice.
So I said, was there any more pressure? So the other guy, another guy we'll play with goes, well, not for nothing. He's right. I mean, you know, Eli did come through in the pressure, you know, the situation. Yeah. And he goes, well, so the New England guy goes, well, he's no Tom Brady, but I do have to give him credit. He did kill us with the time when it mattered, you know. So
a little shout out
to Eli, man.
Good for you mentioning the right pass, too, because the Tyree one was just crazy. There was two parts of that, but the Manningham one, I will say, was the best throw I've ever seen a quarterback make.
Jerry, because the Tyree one, he basically launched it up there, and Tyree came down with it. We know
right?
But the Manningham was like perfect. A laser. You know, it was like something from those unmanned drones that hit a target from like 40 miles away. You know what I mean? It was like right down his sideline. You know what I mean? So,
which folks, is the pass that Ernie Accorsi saw him throw at Ole Miss where he said, oh my God. That down the sideline pass where the safety's coming over and he nailed it. So, there you go.
So, when you just said Eli, it made me think of that. I was like, yep, Eli, right in that situation. Right? You know what I mean?
Nice.
Big time pressure. You know, and that's what we're all hoping Daniel takes that next step this year. You know?
Yep.
That's what we're hoping. Big time throws, right, Jerry? Like Eli used to make.
Yep.
Big time throws. I mean, that's what everybody's hoping that in year four, Daniel could take that next step where he would make a lot of those Eli-like big time throws.
Yep. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. All right, dude. Is there anything else that was on your mind before we get to questions? I know we can just. I think it's very interesting to bring up Tony, and the fact that you think he's going to have the year that he's going to have. You're getting me excited talking about the two of them, with Kafka and Dable behind him. Barkley, you know, this should be, like we said, a fun offense. But we're going to see it. We're gonna hold your feet to the fire, Chris, in training camp, and say, "Hey, how are they doing, Chris? Are they?" And this is when you know, a lot of reasons I still wish my father was alive. But if he was alive, he'd be listening to this podcast, and I know he would be calling me or texting me the last few years, saying, "You know, Chris keeps talking about these wheel routes. Where the hell are they?"
Yeah. He'd be getting mad at me. What the hell, Chris? Why are you keep talking about
him? What is he making this up? So, but yeah, you're kind of getting us all excited.
What is he making this up? Exactly. Yeah. Look, I think there's a lot to be excited about, Jerry. Going into camp. You know, I think there is. Now, we've been disappointed before. I get it. But I think there's a lot to be excited about. And hopefully Brian Dable, you know, keeps that excitement for everybody, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. So going into week one against Tennessee and, you know, in the training camp, the offense, but it all, what does it go on? What does it all depend, right, Jerry? It all depends. It's all on Daniel's shoulders, man. You know, Daniel's shoulders. Daniel has to take that next step up to the next level, man. You know, and Dable's going to, you know, suit this offense. He's going to build this offense, you know, around what he could do and all that. So,
when you see him, ask him where the hell he was in the Ranger game, game five, please. Because he wasn't on the big screen. I don't know if they couldn't find him, if he was there or not.
I didn't even think about that. Was he not?
Yeah, no, he was not. He was not shown on the big screen or anything. And
I could say, you know what, Jerry? I hate to say it. He probably wasn't there. I could say this, Jerry.
Well, then I blame
the last day at mandatory camp, I got Dable on the side and I said, what's your plans? Have you settled down here? Is your wife down? You know, and he goes, well, we're going on vacation. He goes, and then we're gonna come back and we'll be here and we got to settle down in a house. So all I could think of, Jerry, is that maybe he took off right after minicamp and he went somewhere with his family, which screwed you and the Ranger fans.
Totally did. You know, totally did. I blame him. Tell him, you know, we blame him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so right. They're undefeated with him. And
yeah, so. He can't be doing that, man. He can't
be doing that. Brian. Tell your wife and your kids. Hang on, guys. We have a Ranger game to go to tonight.
They probably booked it, you know, and said, oh, God, now we're playing, you know, game six here, you know. So, you know what? Come to think of it, no, I don't remember even reading about it or seeing Dable on the board. So, Dable really screwed the Rangers, man. That's not good.
There it is. Nice.
And, of course, a UPS truck, folks, pulls up in front of my house while we're doing the podcast so my dog could go crazy. What else is new? I'm sure everybody's used to this by now.
We expect it. We want it. So, all right. First up, Kyle Johnson. Do you guys have confidence in the secondary to get it done? But more importantly, is Adoree a true number one corner? Pray for the Celtics tonight. Good stuff, Kyle.
Well, Kyle, you know, Adoree, he played better than Bradbury last year.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah. And by the way, I hear Bradbury's getting burned in Philly, by the way, in practice. But go ahead. Sorry.
Oh. Adoree, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But is Adoree a true number one corner in this league? Nah, not really. But he's our number one corner, Kyle. He's our number one corner. And he didn't play bad last year. He played pretty well. And I like the way he looks in this offseason so far. So, and what was the other part of that question?
Pray for the Celtics. Do you think the confidence in the secondary overall? But we kind of talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about it, man. Yeah, right now, that's a question mark.
I thought the Adoree Jackson question was a good one.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Contreras, based on Chris's answer about Kadarius Toney, I think you have yours. She said, what wide receiver would you draft in fantasy this year for the Giants? Matthew Boniface, can you quickly reflect on the early Gettleman days compared to the early Shane? To the early Shane regime? Feels like such stark approaches to the draft and free agency. Do you feel the same? Feels like Davis wasn't the adult he thought he was. Or Dave wasn't the adult he thought he was. I think there was excitement for both because Reese had gotten stale, right? In fairness to Gettleman, when he first came on, you know, he cut Bobby Hart, which everybody was excited. That was an easy one, but he cut him. He traded JPP, which people raised an eyebrow to, but when you heard that JPP left behind Eli when Eli was crying, I don't know what JPP was laughing about, but he was, you know, the Eli getting pulled game, that he was one of the guys in the background. I think the enthusiasm was there early. It's easy to always say, we knew it was a disaster from the start, but we didn't. We thought, well, maybe this is the guy. He learned under a Corsi. So I think there was excitement at first. As by now, though, especially with the Saquon pick, he had divided the fan base in half pretty much. That was a stupid pick. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Jerry, look, in all fairness to Gettleman, and we wouldn't have, you know, when Barkley's rookie year, nobody was really saying,
no.
Right. How'd you take this guy second overall? You can't take a running back. And people were ecstatic.
Some people were still mad.
Doesn't mean we agree. Right. Look, I wouldn't have done it. You know, you wouldn't have done it. I think we both would have went with Quentin that year, right? If I remember right, Quentin Nelson.
If we were sticking with Eli, yes.
You know what I mean, Jerry?
Yep.
But, you know, when Saquon was going off that year, you know, a lot of people, they didn't have a problem with him taking a second overall. But the point is that they were still 5-11, you know what I mean, that year. And you just, to build a team, a roster, really, you know, running back at two is, that was Gettleman. I think Gettleman probably the only guy in the whole league that would do that, you know?
Yeah, right.
The excitement was there, Gettleman's first, but then he proved that, you know, he just couldn't get the job done. That's it. Right. Now Joe Shane's on the hot seat, and we'll see if he could prove that he could get the job done.
The Godfather of Brooklyn. Hey, guys, hope all is well. If you could have gotten two tickets to any of the Giants Super Bowl wins with your dad, which one would you be choosing? Mine is 07. Also, Chris, what is a traditional Italian dish one should try that's not mainstream, spaghetti, lasagna, or parm dish? So first, Chris, if you could go to any Giants Super Bowl, which one would it have been?
86.
Same. I agree.
86.
And second, what is a traditional Italian dish that's not mainstream that he should try?
That's not mainstream?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Got to think about that one there, Godfather.
I know, putting you on the spot, buddy.
Traditional Italian dish. That's not, mainstream that he should try. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that one, man. I'm going to I'll direct message you back in that one, bud. I can't think of one right now. All I'm thinking about is mainstream stuff.
I know. Yeah. Chicken parm.
That's all I'm thinking is mainstream, you know?
Nice.
I'm trying to think of something I've had over the years that wasn't mainstream.
Yeah, I'd say, you know what it is? It's stuff that you order at a restaurant because you're like, I'm not going to eat this at home, so I'm going to have it out. That's what I usually do. Like, I don't get spaghetti and meatballs when you go to the restaurant because it's like, I can get that at home.
Yeah,
so,
you can do it at home. Yeah.
Right. Usually, for me, it's like a fra diavolo type of pasta, right. Like a shrimp fra diavolo. That's my go-to usually a lot when I go out, Godfather. So there you go, buddy. But Chris will give you probably a better one when he DMs you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that one.
Let's see. Confused, flabbergasted, upset. Do you think Jihad Ward can realistically mentor our young pass rush?
Well, sure. You know, he's going to show, he's been in the league a while, and he's going to show him all the tricks, you know?
Yeah.
No question, you can help him. He's gonna, they help him. With these young kids, when they're in the film room, they're gonna look at things of what these tackles are doing, the tricks that they do, what to look for. I mean, Jihad Ward is not gonna make a guy a 10-sack guy, but he points out everything he's experienced with his years in the league. And especially, he's been under Wink Martindale. He's been in Wink Martindale's system, and he's gonna help him. Guide them. What he wants, his playbook, and he already talked about it with Thibodeau. Said, he goes, I'm going to be on his, and I'm going to make sure he's caught up, and I want him playing fast, when he comes out of the gate in September. So,
from Corey, who are you guys most excited for this upcoming year? Revenge year for Shep or Barkley? Thanks, you guys rock. Thanks, Corey. I'm excited to see, based on, again, what Chris has said, Xavier McKinney in this defense with Martindale. I cannot wait to see it. So that's what I'm most excited about. I think Giant fans, deep to their core, are defensive guys. I'm excited to see this defense overall, but in particular, Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, you should be, because he's lining up all over the damn place too, Jerry.
Right.
You're not just going to see him playing at center field.
Yep.
Like he did,
which he's bored with. Clearly bored with, he told you.
He's going to be all over.
Yeah.
And look, call me a buffoon. I'm excited about my boy Julian lining up all over the damn place.
Oh, it's fine. We like Julian Love.
And on the offense, I think
Chris, it's not like you're sticking up for a Golden Domer who clearly stinks. Julian Love's a pretty good player, right? So anyway.
Yeah. I think so. Anyway, obviously the Giants doing. Obviously Joe Shane Dable though. Here he is. Year four, he's going to be starting at safety.
Right.
And I think I talked about it in the first half of this podcast. I'm pretty excited about Mr. Kadarius Toney too.
Yep. From Alex, if you could, for just one season, Chris, give up covering the Giants and cover the Red Sox or another sports team for just one season, would you do it? Hashtag go Sox, hashtag go Big Blue.
Oh, what a smart guy. Who's this guy? Go Sox?
Alex at @A_Amart21.
All right, well, what? I don't think we ever interacted before, but sounds like a very smart guy.
But he's in love with you, Alex.
Is he? Oh, thank
you.
No,
I'm saying you're in love with him. I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a very smart dude. I could tell right off the bat with the Go Sox. And the question was, what team would I cover?
Well, would you give up covering the Giants for one, just for one season, in order to cover the Red Sox?
Oh, in order to cover the Red Sox. Oh, you know what? Probably not, man. Probably not.
Really?
Probably not. Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Sox, too many games, bro.
That's true. Okay, yeah, that's fair.
It's too many games,
Right, right. Ah, good one. All right. New York sports fan, 199. Jerry, non-related Giants question. Here it is. Rangers are playing in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. There are three channels to watch it on. The announcers are Romo and Nance, Aikman and Buck, or Michaels and Collinsworth. Which channel are you picking? It's not even close. Michaels and Collinsworth, because Michaels did the Miracle on Ice, so he's great at that. Collinsworth won't annoy me too much. And nothing can annoy me more than the idiots on channels ABC or ESPN, guys. I mean, going from the man, Doc Emrick, to what we have now in hockey, it is crap. So I'll be honest with you, dude. listening to Ray Ferraro and those guys, I might even give Tony Romo a chance now. But out of all of those, Tony I'm going
Romo.
With
Michael. Tony Romo doing hockey?
Yeah. He would get me. He would almost want. He would almost give me an aneurysm because he'd get too excited. I'd be like, "Oh my!" Like Emmerich used to, like, "Oh shot!" Oh, and he'd scream. And I thought he was great at it. But I would go with Michaels and Collinsworth.
You think Romo would be like in hockey? Okay, look for the guy in the slot here. Go look for the guy in the slot.
He'd be
coming
annoying,
up.
But I'd almost. It would. I would almost laugh the whole time. I'd be like, "This is insane." So
yeah.
Buck and Aikman would be the worst. They'd be my last choice, because Aikman the whole time would be like, "I don't know what he was thinking shooting there. You got to pass that puck." Like, he would just criticize the whole time.
Yeah. And then Aikman would be like, "Whoa, the Dallas Stars wouldn't have done that. They would have scored
right,
that."
Right. They'd be such downers, those two. So, good question. Nice job. Let's see. Sorry. Oh, no. Yeah, all about NYG. In 3 years, who's going to be the Giants quarterback, running back, and wide receiver? I can't name that. The quarterback's probably in college. I hope he's not. I hope it's Jones, but I just, you know, got gun to my head, I would say that. Joey Z, Chris, over the years, we've learned that you grew up with Biggie or know him.
Not grew up, knew him. Yeah, I had interaction. Yeah.
Friends with RZA from Wu-Tang and other famous rappers. What other famous rappers does Chris know? Is he tight with Jay-Z? So he said, basically, Chris is a celebrity at this point.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So anyone else famous that you know that you might want to, like any rappers?
Well, you know, for you rappers, Big Cliff, Method Man.
Oh, nice.
I remember him when he was a little kid. It's the who I know. I mean, I've hung out with. I have actually hung out with a VIP with Steve Harris for you Iron Maiden fans.
The nice best bass player of all time, probably.
He might be the greatest bass player of all time, yeah. I was actually with Steve Harris one night.
Almost as good as Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue, Chris.
Oh, stop, Nikki Sixx.
I'm joking. Stop. I'm just joking.
Oh, okay, you're joking?
I'm laughing because so one of those magazines gave him best bassist one year, and my Iron Maiden buddies went nuts.
Yeah, no, Nikki Sixx is not in the same planet as Steve Harris.
I know.
That's that Motley Crue attraction, please. Oh, God. I saw Motley Crue in concert once, Jerry. I mean, it might have been the worst show I've ever seen.
Really?
Literally the worst. I'm like, my friend, I never forget, my friend got me the tickets. He goes, "Let's go see the Crue." And I'm like, "Dude, come on. You know they suck in per." And he's like, "No." I was like, "All right. Well, you know what, Jerry? It was a free ticket." I forgot what the hell it was. So
well,
long
Chris,
ago.
Actually, this leads into the next question from Ted Stroman. First ever concert, band and venue, go.
My first ever concert was, I was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My friends who were older got me a ticket. It was Ozzy Osbourne. His first solo album after Sabbath, 19, I think it was 81 or 80.
Wow, so you saw Randy Rhoads live.
So I saw Randy Rhoads. I think I told you this before, Jerry. I saw Randy Rhoads.
No, I'm just leading it.
I didn't tell you this? I thought I told you this.
No, you did. I'm leading it in for the audience.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I saw 1988. I was like 15. And I saw Ozzy with Randy Rhoads. I believe that was my first. Yeah, I was young, so I had to be like my first one.
Yeah.
With Randy Rhoads, that really nobody, they just heard the solo album and they're like, "Wow, this guy is unbelievable." And then when you saw him in concert, it was like, "Holy crap." Yeah. You know? And unfortunately, we all know what happened. Randy Rhoads died way too young. But that was probably my first one. I don't think I was that same year something further. And then I saw like a million after that. But that was my first. Ozzy was my first one. I'm pretty sure Ozzy was my first one.
Yeah, for me, it was Metallica at the Mann Music Center in Philly.
Really?
Yep.
By themselves? Who opened up for them?
Danzig and Suicidal Tendencies opened up for them.
Well, Danzig had a
Danzig
run.
Was all right.
He had a
Suicidal
run.
Tendencies was terrible. Yeah.
Oh, so getting back to the Crue story. So I'm like, Nikki Sixx is like, "Oh, please stop." You know, so, so it was like, "Oh my God." I mean, Vince Neil, I don't know what, they were probably out flying the night before, or whatever the hell they were doing, but it was like the worst show. No, I'm not saying they were all bad. I'm sure Crue's had a lot of great live shows. All I'm saying is that when I saw them, I mean, it was like listening to guys banging garbage cans. I don't know what the hell it was. I'm coming off bands like Pink Floyd, Van Halen, Watching bands, Iron Maiden, I saw numerous times. Watching bands like that, and then I saw Motley Crue, and I was like, dude, what am I doing here? I said to my friend, what am I doing here? I'm telling you, oh, Crue. All right, dude. Yeah, they got five good songs. Stop. Come on.
That's awesome. That's great. Again, in the vein of music, Adriana Iafola, if you were in charge of training camp music, what five artists would be on the playlist besides Zeppelin, of course? Hashtag buffoon crew.
This is like a music podcast.
It's fine with me. I like talking about this stuff. It's funny.
Well, look, we got it. You got to pump it up. So I'm gonna go with my boy Biggie a lot. You know, okay. You got to pump it up, brother. You got to pump it up. You can't have a Pink Floyd band in the training camp.
No.
You know what I mean?
Even Zeppelin. You can't play Zeppelin. I don't know if you could play Zeppelin at minute.
I've heard Zeppelin, though. They've played Zeppelin.
Have they really?
Yeah. Okay. They played Rock and Roll. They played Immigrant Song. I've heard.
Oh, okay.
No, Zeppelin has songs that you could. I don't know why you're ripping Zeppelin now.
Ripping Zeppelin.
This is what I mean when I say you're a buffoon when it comes to music.
Dazed and confused.
Like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? You know, so. Yeah. So you got to play. You got to get big. Yeah, DMX is very popular. He gets the camp going when you hear DMX.
Yeah, I mean,
old DMX. You know,
metal, so. I would, obviously Metallica.
Metallica is a popular one too.
Van Halen, although Van Halen's a lot of tailgate music for Van Halen.
It
seems like the quintessential tailgate songs. Yeah. I love Public Enemy. They're probably my favorite rap group of all time. I would go with them.
Okay, Ice Cube. Ice Cube is a pretty good one too for training camp. That's a good one for training camp. Cube is good for training camp.
So and guys, we're all over the place with this one. Sorry, guys. Chris, guys.
And no, folks, I don't know Cube. He's a West Coast kid. I don't know him.
A lot of his stuff, I don't know if it would be just. It would be like watching Goodfellas on AMC. Like it's just beep beep beep. Like it's just so much beyond cursing. So I don't know. Let's see. We'll do a couple more. Is Bellinger the heir apparent for the starting tight end job? Well, right now, Joseph Michael, he is.
That's the plan.
Right now, he is.
Until we draft Mike Maugh out of Notre Dame next year.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Nice. Sound like my father. These tight ends, these Notre Dame tight ends, we got to get one. We got one in Bavaro. What have we done? Then I'd remind him of Derek Brown, and he would ignore it. Well, that was a stupid pick. Okay.
Well, it was. Jerry's right.
He was 100% right. Well, from ACL Tears, will the Giants hire a new director of college scouting at all, or will another person on the staff assume the duties of the position?
From what I understand, they've been interviewing people, so I'm sure you're going to be seeing that.
All right, one more. Big Blue at Lewis_BigBlue. Happy summer. You too, Lewis. Thanks for all you guys do. What are your top five Giant games since the Giants have moved to the Meadowlands? So, top five. I mean, I think the Super Bowls are like too easy, right? So just cut those out. For me, two of those have to be in the 86 season, right? The Niner game and the Redskin game, the Washington game. Well, they were the Redskins then. Just for the fact that I was so happy, even as an 11, 12-year-old kid, I sensed how happy my father was and how those older Giant fans, you could see it on TV.
Yeah.
So they have to be there.
No doubt.
And then, you know what?
That Viking championship game, man. That place was rocking, man. That has to be up there, too, man.
I was there for that. That was incredible.
That was incredible, you know?
But obviously, I like the blowouts better. The Eagle game that year, that was one of the loudest I've ever heard that stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say that the 2 in 86, I think, Chris, you nailed it with the Viking game. After that,
I think.
You know what? Clinching against the Cowboys in 2011. That was great.
Jerry, you know what was one of the ones for me, too? When they beat the Packers in 86 at the end of the year.
Okay.
Was that 86 or was that 90 when they clinched?
No, it was 86. They clinched home field.
They went 14-2.
That was the Tom Flynn game.
Yes. I think that was their 13th win or whatever it was.
14th.
It was their 14th win, and they were going number one seed in the playoffs and all that
55-27, I think that score was.
Yeah, it was I remember they scored a lot on us, which was surprising.
Yeah, it was it was 24-21.
Right, it was cold. I remember that. It was like kind of a shootout. And
They were up like 24-0, and then they came back.
Yes, yeah. I was like, I remember I was sweating out after a while. I'm like, why are we sweating out in this game? I remember, you know?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, where do I see Banks? I'm going to ask, what the hell are you guys doing that game?
Yeah, what happened there, Carl?
Yeah, Carl, I mean, not for nothing. They scored 20-something points on you. You know, and that defense was awesome at that point, you know, at that year. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember that being kind of a wild game, a sunny day for some reason in December. Yeah. It was kind of a nice day, if I remember right.
Yep.
But I always loved that game. It was like the number one seed, Jerry, and all that stuff. And Sims was, you know, lighting it up. And the offense was rolling and the whole deal, you know. And defense kind of gave up some points. But that was an exciting game, too, man.
The Bavaro got 1,000 in that game. Tom Flynn, who was cut by the Packers, came over and got a touchdown.
That 49 a Monday night game when they came back, Jerry, you know, when they were losing and they came back and won.
86. Yeah.
That 86 year.
We could do a whole show on best games.
Yeah. That's got to be up there too, man. So there's a lot of
And Big Lou VCR had been playing that over the last few days, that game. Yeah. He's been playing it like all aspects. I didn't realize how close that was at the end, that game.
But yes, I know. But yeah. Jerry, take away the Super Bowls, like you said. I mean, that 1990 championship game, too.
Yeah, that's a great game.
When the Niners were going for the three-peat, you know, Eric Howard gets his helmet in there, knocks that ball loose at the end. LT recovers.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously that other Giants with Eli, that 49er championship game with Eli.
Packer game,
you know,
too.
Which was, you know, which was. And that, and those conditions on that field and the fog and Eli taking a beating, and that was unbelievable too, bro. So listen, there's more than five. You know, it's tough. It really is tough to get five.
Yeah, at Lewis underscore Big Blue. The answer is we can't do this. There's too many.
It's just too many. You know.
Yeah. But even the 2011 game where the Pack was, people forget the Pack was 15-1. We went in and smoked them with Knicks and, you know, Manning was awesome. You know, the first game was great, too. The freezing cold game where Coughlin's face almost fell off. But, oh, my God, that's 2011. Okay,
right, Jerry, there's another example. That's another one that's got to be up there. The minus 10 degree, minus 20 degree game in Green Bay, you know?
This is an unanswerable question.
Eli and Plax, you know, going in and winning that game in overtime to go to that. So that has to be up in the top five for me, just because of the conditions alone, Jerry.
What did the Packer announcer say? Al Harris must be cold because he's getting undressed. Love it.
It was just amazing they kept Al Harris in man on Plax that game, you know.
And I remember leading up to that game, Deion Sanders on the NFL Network, Plax will not do it next week against Al Harris. Yeah. And I thought, this is the same Al Harris that played for Philly, right? Like, all right, he's good, but you know, he's not Deion.
Relax with that talk.
Yeah. Love that. Yep. So nice question.
Plax,
Luis.
Plax proved that wrong.
Yeah.
He showed that was a ridiculous statement.
Good stuff, dude. All right, guys. I'm sorry, Chris. Anything else?
No. We'll try to line up somebody. We're going to try to line up somebody, a few people we have in mind. Ex-Giants, you know, somebody maybe talk about, you know, the Giants of next year and all that stuff. We'll try to line up some people coming up to training camp starts, and we'll see what we'll get up, you know?
Awesome. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys, remember, Sundays are Giant Days, baby. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.